is give to the future in my offertory. But first, I want to do what we always traditionally do at this time, is to be reminded that we're not here by accident, that God commanded that we do this, and that we are responding to that command. And we do so knowing that God will honor our commitment to Him and to His way of life. But I want to read as a reminder Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 16, beginning to read in verse 16, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. Today, the place that He chooses is for us here in the Church of the Eternal God at this particular location, and those of you joining us via the internet. Remarkable happenings these days. So at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. It's part of His instruction. It's important to God that we take that extra step, not just showing up, but showing up with an offering. Every man shall give as he is able. He doesn't put any requirement beyond just that we have an offering. And then it goes on, according to the blessing of the Lord which He has given you. And so when we add that little caveat, I think it makes us think a little more seriously. Has God blessed me when I tithe? Well, when I give offerings? Absolutely. God takes care of His people. Title again was Give to the Future, and got some examples about that, about giving to the future. And I'll begin with that of King David, who prepared for the tabernacle. Now, it's interesting here, too, because David was not allowed to build the tabernacle. All he could do was assemble, kind of like Lego, I guess, in a way. You know, he assembled all the materials that Solomon would then use to build the temple. But notice his attitude about it in Exodus 36. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of me. Well, let's just go to David first, and then I'll go back to Exodus. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3, and this is David preparing for the temple that he would not only not build, but would not see. However, God, by inspiration, had caused him to understand in writing, however that worked out. He knew the plans, the architectural plans for the tabernacle, much like we find in Ezekiel 40 and the subsequent chapters about the tabernacle that is yet to be built in our time. The plans are there. But preparing for the temple in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, moreover, because I set my affection on the house of my God, again, something that would be in the future, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. And then in verse 9 in that same chapter, the people had joined with him in preparing offerings for the tabernacle, or for the new temple. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. All of this work was being done, brethren, for a future activity. Now, some of them, of course, lived to see its completion, but at that time, they were giving to kind of a building fund, if you please. Then let's go to Exodus 36, verses 4 through 7. Exodus 36, verses 4 through 7. And this is preparation for the tabernacle. While the people were still coming out of Egypt and had not yet arrived in the promised land. In verse 4, then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material that they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Wait, don't give any more. We've got more than what we need. What a remarkable occurrence there, and especially if you contrast that to the later attitude of the people when they rebelled against God. But Israel has always been known for having a giving heart. I mean, that's true in this time, to take care of those who are in need, if just only they would combine that with obedience to God. And finally, I want to give the example of preparing for salvation. The Father, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What more could God have given than his own Son? Again, preparing for the future, giving to the future. And then, speaking of the Son, in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread, Christ says, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Quite a willingness to give. And I think we need to think about our own giving in the light of how we can help in the greater purposes of what's revealed in the Bible, and especially that of the Father and the Son in preparing for salvation. Our offerings, brethren, help to build and sustain the work of God in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, to actually give to others their opportunity for salvation.